Wait, is there a reason for insecurity down there if you're Dak Prescott? Well, because Cooper Rush has won two games in a row, and Jerry Jones is a lunatic.
My God.
I know, but Jerry Jones was – he also said that Dak was going to be back in week three, didn't he, or week four, was it? I think in three or four. I mean, that's not happening, obviously, and now Cooper Rush is the next coming, so that's it.
Could be. You never know. Well, listen, Marcellus has played down there. He knows what it's all about down in Dallas, and – he joined us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our good buddy Marcellus Wiley. We're just reading your tweet here about Dak. What are you saying, Marcellus? Are you calling some sort of a quarterback battle down there that could actually lead to Cooper Rush being the man for the Cowboys?
Oh, absolutely. And we know the NFL stands for not for long. And I think that this is a situation that's starting to brew in Dallas. Because there's always competition. You just don't always know which player or what situation. But because the NFL is not for long, and you always get beat out if someone's better, younger, or cheaper. And if they're all three of those things, you're really in trouble. But in this situation, you just see Cooper Rush commanding this offense in a better way than Dak Prescott has in our most recent memory. And I like Dak. I think Dak is better than Cooper Rush. Trust me. I think if they called the plays the exact same way and they committed to Tony Pollard as they have more this year than they have in the years past, Dak Prescott would clearly beat out Cooper Rush. That's not the conversation we're having. We're having the conversation of how much do you make, Dak, and what are the results, versus Cooper Rush, how much do you make, and what could be the results? And because you have that proposition in your head, Cooper Rush looks very attractive to those upstairs in Dallas's our management.
Yeah.
Jesus, Murphy,
listen, we're talking Jerry Jones, and I can't get a read on Jones because he comes out, he talks to the media after every game, he does his weekly radio hit, he talks as if he's this riverboat gambler, yet you look at his history, he's actually been fairly patient and fairly loyal. You know, like, he doesn't turn over coaches every single year. And yet Mike McCarthy seems to be on the record saying, like, Dak is the guy. Don't bring Cooper Rush into my region here, man. I'm not going to accept that. So who do you think would win the battle? Like, if McCarthy is adamant, Dak Prescott gets the ball as a quarterback the second he's healthy, but Jerry Jones wants Cooper Rush, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I wish I had a producer right here in the car with me as I go pick up the kids. And I say, hey, run back that tape. When Tony Romo got injured and Dak first got in, and what did they say? I bet it would be eerily similar to this same situation, right? You got your franchise guy. You got the guy who's making all the money. You got the guy who has everyone's hearts and emotions, and all of their ambitions are through Dak Prescott as they once were through Tony Romo. But if you sit yourself in that cold tub too long and somebody else is out there not only balling but winning, I don't care who you are, they're going to look at the situation differently. And like I said, I don't think that Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak. But he can dictate these circumstances to where he looks like the better option than Dak. And that's what's at play. Salary cap's at play. How much do you make is at play. What have been the results is at play. What do you do, Cooper Rush, in terms of inspiring this fan base? Is at play. A lot of things. I went through this before. Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson. Oh, you know what? Rob Johnson's our quarterback. We gave him 5 years, $25 million, and he's a franchise quarterback. He got hurt. Doug Flutie never lost, and it was Doug Flutie's job. Then they flipped back once again. That's my point. You can't get a read on Jerry Jones because right now, guarantee you, in his quiet moments, he's flip-flopping between both guys in every scenario.
I like it with Marcellus Wiley. So we got Thursday night or tonight, Miami in Cincinnati. All eyes on Tua because he's been playing so well, but based on the injury last week, where it feels like a lot of people think that was a concussion or a head injury, and now they're putting up a disguise as if it was a back injury that he's been suffering the whole time. But he's playing. What do you expect to see out of Tua tonight?
Man, that's dirty if they did try to frame it as a back ankle injury. It is really his head. Woo, that's talking about trying to rig the game because you know how protective the NFL is about concussions and head issues. That said, I'll take them for their word. Like, not every time you see someone fall on their head does their head hurt. And I remember having these arguments with fans and my friends. They'll watch a game I played in, and they'll be like, man, that dude hit you so hard. I know that hurt. And I'll be like, well, no, when? And he's like, no, in the third quarter. And I'm like, when? He said, the second series. I was like, no, when? Eddie George. I'll be like, no, when? You know what's funny about football? The hardest hits are the ones that usually go unnoticed and cause the most damage. I give you this example. When you see a guy jogging, all of a sudden he just falls on the ground. Did anybody hit him? No. But his knee is gone, and he's out for a year. It happens in hits as well. Sometimes you're just in the pile. You put your arm out there awkwardly. It happens. What I expect from Tua, frankly, is kind of more of the same. I believe that he has a back injury and an ankle injury, but, hey, he has some potent receivers that he almost can close his eyes and launch it as far as he can and waddle, and he'll run under it and go get it. That puts a huge threat on any team that's trying to cover them defensively, because now you have to think about every single layer of their offense attacking you. So just the acquisition of Hill and the combination of him and Waddle has really opened up this playbook. Unless Tua's really hurt or hurt in a way that they haven't said, I think he's going to be just fine.
What about the other team, the team they're playing? I'm a Bengals guy, Marcellus. You think they're going to end the season as an elite team again, or what do you see in the future of my Rule the Jungle Bengals?
Just like you sounded. That lion didn't have much roar. You just
come on,
said
man.
That like better. I don't think these Bengals have much of them. I'm reading into the stripes, and I'm not seeing a lot of great things going forward. Look, they tried to address the offensive line. Obviously, it started slow. Recovered last week. You look at this team, and Joe Burrow missed a ton of time in training camp. You look at them, they're very talented, but with that Super Bowl hangover, more importantly, they're playing ball thinking that they fixed all their ills. I never like a team's mindset when they just highlight what they think they need to fix and then they go into the next year thinking it's done. You got to play every single game like it's your first and your last. And the Bengals just seem like a team that we penciled in to greater horizons than they actually have earned. So I'm just going to watch them. I don't know if they're mature enough. I don't know if they're going to come together well enough to go out there when there's a bullseye on their back. They think they're all good, and they're going to find that it's going to be tough sledding this year. The craziest thing about sophomore slumps, as everyone says, the whole sophomore slump, the second time you do something, the issue is you don't go back to square one like you did the first time you did it. And that's going to be an issue for these Bengals.
With Marcellus Wiley, the Bills are coming off a loss in Miami, and now they're at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson has been chewing up defenses. There are clearly issues in terms of injuries on the defensive side of the ball in Buffalo, and the stats are really starting to get spotlighted and highlighted, the fact that the Bills have a difficult time winning close ball games. Right? If they get off to a hot start and it's a blowout, they can cruise and they can crush you. But the last couple of years in tight games, it hasn't necessarily gone their way. Do you buy into that stat? Do you feel like the Bills, who are getting all this love, a lot of it deserved, need to prove they can win like a field goal game late in the fourth quarter?
I don't buy into that stat. It kind of reminds me of how a lot of times you give an example and you take away the best attribute and then you say, outside of that, and you know what's funny? The Bills win a lot of games, and they win a lot of games in blowout fashion. But then we say, outside of that, what type of team is it? And it's basically telling the pretty girl, outside your looks, who are you? It's like, well, the looks count too, damn it. So I'm looking at the Bills as a team that can fight in those close games. They haven't lost all their close games. They don't have as much experience in close games. And frankly, no team ever has raised their hand to want that much experience in close games. So I think the Bills really have a first-world problem, which means more times than not we're going to win, and more times than not we're going to spank you and win it. Now, the other dimension of, hey, if it's a close one, what are we going to do? Well, that comes down to two things, and they address the defense for sure, but running game and defense, and also the sophistication of how you call the game all come into play. That's why Belichick is a genius. When he has the horses, he knows how to mastermind the game. So in that situation, the Buffalo Bills just got to learn a little more calculus in those close games. But I believe in their potential, and I certainly believe in their talent.
So Sunday night, you got Tampa at home against Kansas City. And I'm curious if you think Brady's looking at the sked saying, what is going on here, man? Like last week I got Green Bay and Rodgers, even though Rodgers didn't put up huge numbers, but you knew they were desperate because of the way they started the year. And now you got Kansas City coming off a loss to the Colts, and Mahomes is rolling in there on Sunday night. How do you see Brady keeping up with Mahomes if Mahomes is in somewhat of a mood coming off a loss last week?
Yeah, you got to hope he's in a mood because he didn't play that well last week. You know, the conversation this week has been, how much does he miss Tyreek Hill now? And you start to compare the offensive passing stats, the whole collective group in Kansas City versus just one Tyreek Hill, and you're starting to realize, interesting how it's going to play out. I believe in Andy Reid. I believe in that system. I believe in Patrick Mahomes. I don't believe it's all going to come together as seamlessly as they thought it would. And that's going to be tough. Tom Brady may look at Patrick Mahomes like he did Aaron Rodgers last week. I know who you are. I know how great you are, but maybe you won't play so great this week. And it happened last week with Green Bay, even though Green Bay still got the game. It may happen, and I predict it will happen again. Tampa wins, and Kansas City still struggles.
Interesting. I love it. All right, Marcellus, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, brothers. Take care, baby.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time through Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, you got a big Sunday nighter.
And Brady, you mentioned it. Like, Brady, the schedule's not favorable for him. Like, he's going to be running for his life out there. Yeah,
if he stinks the joint out again, he's going to get it. Like, he's going to get, what's up with you?
Mm-hmm. You think he might
Somebody might finally ask, like, where's your game at? Because the whispers will be out there if it's junk again.
Mm-hmm. Well, their offense has been no good. Like, they just,
I mean, he's missing weapons, but.
Yeah, his line's banged up. His weapons have been gone for the most part, but, yeah, you're still Tom Brady.
Well, he gets Evans back, right? Evans only got one
game,
Evans
will be back. Yeah, Evans will be back. So there's your number one target. You got Leonard Fournette. But it's not going to get easier with Kansas City. But that's what happens. You got a great team. You're going to be in prime time. People are going to be paying attention to you.
Yeah.
So we expect that to be the case again Sunday night with Tom Brady. And the Buccaneers, and it sounds like they're going to stay in Tampa. It sounds like Tampa kind of avoided the worst of Hurricane Ian, but that hurricane was nasty, man, like so powerful.
Dude, there was sharks in the, like, did you see the videos of the sharks, like, swimming
in Fort Myers.
The street?
Yeah, it was in Fort Myers. Jeez. I'm down there every year. I'm down there all the time. It's wild. Like,
crazy.
Listen, a Category 4 hurricane, and, of course, the weather. Journalists had to be out there covering it. And I will say, it is incredible television. It seems incredibly dangerous. And I would assume the journalist, the reporter, has the ability to say, no, I'm not going out there if they choose to. But it is incredible TV.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be callous or whatever. Like, it's just the truth. You watch someone in the middle of a hurricane doing a report, you can't turn that off.
No.
But it seems incredibly unnecessary. Like, we get it. The hurricane.
And dangerous.
Would you get hazard
it's
pay for that?
Insanely dangerous.
Like, would you get hazard pay? You work for CNN. You're standing down there in a hurricane. Like, you getting some type of bonus or something? Like,
I don't know.
I would hope. Like, I would hope that a network would be like, okay, you just put your life in danger for a live TV hit. Like, here's a little something extra.
Yes.
Like, in your...
If that's not hazard pay, what is?
Exactly, that's hazard pay. Flat out hazard pay.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about it in the States, but that should be.
Yes.
Those reporters in the eye of a storm standing
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah, there's one up on TSN4 right now.
Like, although it is ridiculous. There's no reason why that guy should be there unless, like,
look is that a news that person is. Or just a guy being a goon?
No, it's a reporter. It was someone doing a report. Like,
yeah,
he's got the mic. You
much.
Can see his mic.
But that's too much. Like, that's on the producer or whatever to be like, we're out of here. We're not staying for you to get blown down the street.
Right. Like, you know the eye of the storm. You know you can avoid it. You can drive to different parts of the states.
Exactly.
Or of the state and make sure that you avoid it. But, yeah, there's always wild scenes coming out of that. But Southwest Florida got hit really hard. But Tampa will be at home. Tampa is going to play Sunday night football at home. That'll be emotional, too, because the state will be reeling, clearly, because of what happened. Kansas City in their Sunday night.